Atıyor.
Monday, 16th
Monday.
May 1983, with Mr. Tommy Inverness. Can I ask, firstly, Mr. when you were born?
August the 6th, 1929.
Now, was this in Tumor?
In Tumor House at Bailochasant.
In Sutherland?
In Sutherland, that's correct.
And how long were you, in fact, there?
Well, up until the time I would be about 8 years old, when my father decided there was a change in the estate then, and it was off to Argyllshire, Dalmally, that Sir Douglas and Lady she was then decided to go and wanted my father to come with them. But him being from up there, and my mother also, and their people were still alive, which was my grandparents on both sides, they were very reluctant to sort of go. But when Job came, he would be wanting a different shooting ground in Argyllshire, comparison to the hard rocks of Sutherland. Fine pastures, green to the tops of Ben Doran, and up Black Mount, where the Craig estate took, it was within their estate. So therefore, my father was very keen to go too. And that's how we decided to go. So Dalmally, I should safely say, was my first schooling, even though I was about 8 and a half.
Now, your father was the stocker at Tumor, is that right?
Yes, he was a stocker at Tumor.
Who was he employed with then?
Well, the state, the Duke of Sutherland had the whole of Ascent, and then General Stuart, who was born in Ned and worked and made his fortune, if it was, as you would say, in Canada, on the CPR, Canadian Pacific Railways, and he was able to take a lot of people from the place he was born in out to Canada.
What do you recall of your early days with your father at Tumor?
Pardon?
What do you recall of your early days at Tumor with your father?
Well, he was a very active man, my word. He would soon go from the house right to the top of Cunard, as you would say, because we had sheep then. And if he saw sheep that shouldn't be where they were, and the gentry about to come within days, he would soon get them down without a collie dog. And well, I remember hearing about it and saw it probably as I grew up myself. So he was certainly... And it had its Tumor House. It was really a lovely place.
Did the gentry come fairly frequently to the estate?
Yes, well, they came up with their servants, all servants up from the south by train to Inverness, and then a charabang or vehicle of such that was in it then, because it was only metal roads we had then. But there were good metal roads. Took all the traffic. Well, I remember at that time the steam roller that was just doing the road outside to Moor House, and many a day I was trying to get on it with a very good friend of ours that's now dead, a huge, no probably relation, but a great friend of ours. He was a steam roller driver.
And were the gentry in Lochasant Lodge, or was it Tumor?
No, in Lochasant Lodge, that's right, that's where. And my mother went to help them in the lodge in the season time also.
From that time, can you recall any incidents which your father may have mentioned to you, even as a young boy?
Well...
Or stories about the people that were there, or...
Well,
passers-by.
Yes, the passers-by will remember being on the roadside, the famous tramp, the gentleman off the road. My word, and me just as a little boy of 8 years, I was no fear of being frightened of them, because they were part of the establishment. And well did the gentry know that too.
You mentioned that you were perhaps more scared of ministers.
Well, yeah, ministers. When I think of it nowadays, and I see children so very going round to the various churches, that when people used to say about ministers, well, when you heard there was a minister coming, I was just afraid and looking to see, would you see that dark, black, clothed individual coming? And even that seemed a threat. But thinking of the old tramp, and he was in a sort of all beleaguered looking way, my word, but you weren't frightened of him, because you were told that he was an old man and one of the road, men of the road, and that there was no fright to be taken from him.
Is it correct to say that the tramps actually used to make a special point of coming to
see
your father?
Oh yes, they made a special point of coming there, because they knew my mother would give them a bowl of soup or what was ever on, which was baking, fresh corns, hot cakes, anything that was going, and my word, they enjoyed it well. They wouldn't come in, they wouldn't come into the porch even. They would sit outside. We, in that days, we had a seat out in the, and even if it was a seat for sitting outside, they would sit in their own way, or on a rock. No, they just had their own way of life, and you wouldn't change it. And they had stories to my father. They would tell things, where they came from and who they saw, and all the way up they came. And they would be looking for a bed for the night, and it would be in the old hay shed that we would put them, but there wouldn't be, probably it was in the winter time, so it was full of hay, but they would be very careful, and we would ask them that they had no matches in case they, there was no cigarettes or much in that, but pipes, there were pipe smokers, old clay pipes with black twist. But they would soon tell that they would have their smoke before they would go to bed, and thank the, very much for getting the bed, and you could vouch for that. They would never, but the odd one, yes, we saw the odd one, but they were very odd. They were very odd.
You refer to them as milestone inspectors?
Milestone inspectors and gentlemen of the road. And there's a story about the late Duke of Portland, when he was travelling up to Berriedale Estate, where his lodge was. There was many as a tramp that would have taken the A9 then, but this one in particular, and he was very, very fond of him. And he would ask when he was around to, that he would get over to see him. And when that poor tramp perished out on the roadside one severe winter or springtime, the Duke found out where it was, and to this very day there's a little mile and a stone put on it.
That was the Ord of Caithness, I think, Tommy, that the stone was.
Yes, that I'm referring to. Yes, the Ord of Caithness. Because I can't picture another stone, you know, on any of the roadsides, and I've been on plenty that, and I travel, and no, I can never know if another stone that was put up to a tramp anywhere in the north, as far as I know. But that one was, and I heard it years ago, but I never saw it till the bus driver I went with some years ago up to John O'Groats. And going up to Wick and John O'Groats and right into past Castle of May, where the Queen Mother has, and into the church where the royalty goes when they're living up in Castle of May. And Johnny Groat is buried there too. The very person, Johnny Groat, to my name.
From these young days that you spent in Tumor, can you recall how the tramps actually looked? How would you describe them?
The tramps? Well, fearsome looking, wild looking, as you would say it now, but the very opposite to what people would think of them as regards people now. and that's ordinary people. But they looked wild because they would have long hair, beards, a cap cut, and, oh my word, they were wild looking. And probably in cold weather, they would have two or three coats, and jackets probably below, and their little bag of stuff, whatever they were carrying.
They generally came all year round?
Yes, generally came. Ah, but they always watched. They would be in some place over bad storms, you know. If there was a bad storm, somebody would, you better stay here today too again, and he might be there for 3 or 4 days. So he would still stay there because he was told about the weather, and he would know himself. Mm. You see, it's not what anybody else would say, that it was good weather. He there knew that. They had a great sense of the weather themselves after being out in it.
Did they ever mention to you or your father that they, in fact, got caught out by the weather?
Sometimes, yes. It would be very wet when they would come, and when they would offer to dry. No, they wouldn't. They would have their own way of drying it, and in their bag they would have another clean, or you would say clothes to put on, but... We never ever heard of them doing a washing or whatever. Well, they would be discarded. It's like, I better not say this, Irishmen over, that when I used to work with Irishmen, my word, there was good Irishmen, very good friends of mine. But they would work, they would never see them with dungarees. They came with a good suit on, and they would go to work with the suit, double-breasted, and they would save work there and make a lot of money, and when the next thing they would do, they would hit into town and get all rigged out, and then that was them from top to bottom, from their hat right to their feet, and then they were hitting the road then. Yes, I could say that's true about Irish.
The tramps never mentioned some of the places they were actually forced to stay, whether it was under a road bridge or...
Yes, I would stay in road bridges too, because you would see, if you'd look under a bridge, and they would say, there's a tramp, there's a place there, if you could tell it, and you would see the rocks put up, and where the bed was, always above water level, below the certain bridges, depending how far away a house, you see, was, and how they would be. But never two of them meet together, you would never know that. There would be always passing. They didn't go around like that. They were very loners, as you would say.
And what happened, were there ever occasions when there was one or more in your hayloft?
No, I don't think ever I can remember. I think there was once or something, but he passed, he didn't know that this was, so then they passed on. Mm. You see, one stayed, but he was there before him, and the other one carried on. No, they would never... They would never blend together, like huskies blend. No, they would never. They were very, very fine people. And the tinkers that came then, wouldn't want to, from Edgerton, there was one lot. And the women folk would have that haberdashery, and the men were tinsmiths. They would make pails and basins that you would be requiring in your scullery or... in the milk house, as you would keep milk then. So they were all and very industrious looking. But they had, for the winter time, they had their houses to go to, and they were just coming round in the summer with their horses. And my word, they fairly looked after their animals. Mm-hmm.
Did the Crofting people have any special name for the tinkers?
Not really, no.
You've never heard the term summer walker?
No, I could never say that.
Or misty folk.
As the years came on, they were beginning to get mystery folk, but not in my time with that sort of people that was coming. If ones came as cars on the road, in little wee pickups, we call them, the little lorry things, you would sort of keep your eye very much because you didn't know they were coming to look for scrap, and if you told them you had nothing, they might go away with your iron gates or something.
This was during the mid-30s?
Oh yes, I would say that. Yes, that was coming more that way.
How about the individual tramps? Did you ever have by-names for these characters?
Well, there was one, Joe Wrench. I mean, I don't know what's that, but somebody so told me, and I said, that was his name. Or Was it somebody else since then? Well, I said, I remember him and called Joe Wrench. But one time said, oh, Joe Wrench is very black looking. Well, the bugger is just coming on. I mean, he was cleaning a car down, hosing a car, so he says, I'll turn the hose on him. Well, the hose landed on him all right, but it landed on his parcel and the whole thing fell out on the road. So there was a bit of, among the few people that saw that happening. But he was quite a character, the man that did that.
Did you ever have an opportunity to see what the tramps actually carried with them?
No, well, I could never say. I was kept well away out of them. But my father probably might have seen in his baggie. Well, I think it would be a change. When their jacket would be wet, they would have another jacket in the baggie. So whatever he... And if he was dumping anything, oh, they would ask the father, said, just to dump that. They wouldn't be left with a whole pile of stuff. No. Oh, no. They would dump it in a place where nobody would see it.
And when they were coming along Loch Assen, were they making for anywhere in particular?
Well, see, they were on the rounds and they'd be going round by Ned and going right to Kilscoo and probably Scowdy. They were just doing their circle and aye, they had their places for. Yes, it was amazing, aye.
And did you have ever the chance to gain some sort of insight into their backgrounds, who they were in fact, where they'd come from?
On some cases, yes, because I was always told this money that used to come, and he was so clean looking, and that he was a barber, well, an Englishman, but that he was trained as a hairdresser, as a man's hairdresser. But somebody, whatever, no, he didn't carry anything to do with that, no.
But that's what he told you?
But he told somebody that he was a hairdresser. And you would see that there were very, some of them, intellectual people, too. And who knows how they went to the road. Did they fail in their exams or something, or went to drink? As it said nowadays about drink, but I don't know. They were quite learned men. They weren't numbskulls, you know. So something just peculiar at that very time put them to that.
Did they ever do any form of casual work?
Some of them did, yes. If they came in the springtime and then in the harvest time, yes. So some would work, but some wouldn't. And if they would work, they didn't want money for it. But they would stay a while with you, so that they would get their bed for the night and they would get their grub.
What type of work did they find?
Well, they would take in, they would put whole potatoes, you see, when that was coming on that time, and they would help to lift potatoes and they would stack corn and hay. Oh yes, and that's those only that would do it, but you wouldn't get the ordinary man taking it, he would just be on his rounds. And you wouldn't say, oh, I think it's going to be wet today, John, you better stay. Not him. His mind was made up of going, and that was it.
And were you visited by the peddler, the packman character?
Yes.
Who sold goods?
Yes, who sold. There was one Taffy that Aina has, and I can remember of him, and he had a suitcase. Well, he had a shaving soap, I suppose, because people used soap then with your shaving brush and it's probably a shaving brush. And razor blades, probably. That. Quite, yes, if I remember right, a nugget. So it was things that wasn't too heavy to carry, but things that was always needed in a house and that you could run out of. When we were living all on the road, so we were expecting to be supplied by vans. And in my word, there was plenty of vans in them days, both getting butcher meat.
But even in the 30s?
Yes, oh yes. The Llywynfer had a wee baker's van coming up from Bened to Loch Assen, more to Loch Assen Lodge, you see. So these people that had little private shops in them days did well, because when the people came to the lodges, all the commodities were bought, to as well as, it's not like nowadays when people have big fridges and they can buy their stuff away down south and they get them, but no, they would buy it there.
So provisions were bought fairly regularly in those days, there wasn't the same bulk buying that you see
nowadays. No, there wasn't the same, but only, well, we would get it buying in bulk ourselves. supplied by Hamiltons of Glasgow, and it would be coming on the steamer, McBrain steamer.
And up to Lochinver?
Yes, to Lochinver, yes. And that same steamer would be calling in Kinlochbervie and all the villages. And this traveller for Hamiltons would be going round beforehand, and you would be getting 100 weight of sugar and tea. It would be in a big tea box, probably in Ceylon, coming from Ceylon, that you could buy the whole, or you could buy a small quarter. But you, yes, you would buy all that stuff in bulk. Mm. But that stuff that was in bulk, but you would never. No perishables, no perishables.
Can you recall in those days, Tommy, how people kept perishables?
Well, it was big caverns that would be underground. If there was a big bank at the back of the house, they would have a hole just dug out and built up with flagstones. And therefore it was, when you go in there, it was quite cool.
Even in the summer?
Well, wonderfully cool. Yeah. They would watch where they would excavate this thing out from. Yeah. But yes, it was wonderfully cool.
And the produce was.
And the produce, it was sort of kept us, but within a reason of time, of course it wouldn't. But and of course, stuff was salted venison.
You'd salt it
away in barrels and boxes and work on it until it was through.
Now, was that your father's own particular task, the sorting of the venison?
No, really, I can't say that. We only probably did it when ourselves, if we had got venison beforehand on the last shooting, and to keep. But no. There were so many hinds having to be shot in the winter time, and it would be sent away. You see, it would not away what they're doing now, but just be sent down to their premises down in the shooting lodges in the south, and that was just sent away and to their friends, and there would be always a beast or two cut up or to be given to the village. Mm. Oh yes, that was one thing. Mm. I always remember that.
So where did the venison actually go to?
But they never killed it in that quantity as they're doing it now to make money. No, there was no money made of it. It was just for their own use. And haunches of venison, that was the best part in the two. They would be sent away to themselves in the haunches, but the other part with the ribs and all that would be cut up and given to the, and the lodge itself for the, and the, all the estate men first of all would get everything, and all the crofters then, it was paying rent.
In those days, how many people were actually involved on the estate?
Well, there was a lot of people involved on the estate because they had to repair paths. They had to keep the river streams all flowing, and if there was any deluge of rain and storms, they would have to keep all the pools in good order, and they would.
The pools?
Yes, the pools, that's the salmon pools, you see, and they would have barriers going out so the gentry could go out to stand on that, ladies and men.
To cross the
Yes, you'll see it still on the rivers, but now it's made of stonework and concrete. Because that's the only thing that could stand to the weather. But that's the way, and the paths repairing of the riverside, and all the bushes round the lodge. At the gardener, there was always a permanent gardener, but he had enough to do. But the estate men would be sent up to clear that. And painters and joiners, they would have themselves.
All self-contained?
Yes, self-contained, yes. There'd be a joiner, and he'd be engaging a painter.